Welcome to the show. That is Stephen Lassen, and I am Braden Gall. You can get to me on twitter.com at Braden Gall.
You can get to me, Stephen Lassen, at Athlon Stephen on Twitter. Also, all CFB365 on YouTube. Stephen LCFB, Facebook and Instagram. Come over and give me a follow if you don't mind.
There you have it. Athlon Sports magazines on newsstands very soon. So I'm going to ask you about those in just a second. But today, of course, our SEC football dream road trip and the rules. If you do not know how the dream road trip works, Stephen, you and I have been doing this for a long time. We've done it for all the other conferences, and we're going to do it with the SEC today. The rules are as follows. You have to see all 16 teams in the new SEC at least one time. You cannot see any team more than twice, and you cannot go to a stadium more than twice. Those are the rules, and we are going to cover the SEC today. Did you learn anything about the conference doing this exercise? There are two teams, two locations that I think are arguably two of the top five locations in all of college football, and I didn't get to go to either one of them, even though I'm seeing that team twice on the road.
Sounds like we may have had a similar debate in our schedule making. Yes, I will tell you that I had a hard time figuring out where to go see Texas because they have so many, like, you know, potentially interesting matchups in different locations. Also, I think just trying to see some of the contenders twice, also interesting road trips is always an interesting angle too, because how do you get to a place like Austin? How do you get to Norman? New venues in the SEC, and also rivalry. So yeah, I did learn a lot. It was, as we've gone through the process, they're always hard to put together each year when we do the road trip, but also it is fun to kind of get together and see the locations and kind of how it fits together. I do think just in terms of scheduling for the SEC, I think Georgia's got a hard schedule this year. I don't think that's any secret. Texas, despite the things that we've talked about, I think it's a pretty favorable path for their first year in the SEC. So as always, no shortage of intrigue in this conference.
So there was absolutely one football game in the SEC that I had to start with, full stop, bar none. And that dictated everything else. And I did not have any difficulty getting to Texas and Norman, Oklahoma, on this particular road trip. So we're going to have a lot of fun today, of course. But before I do any of that, please tell everybody what's going on with the magazines. We're a little bit late this year for Athlon Sports, so make sure you keep that in mind when you're going to the newsstand. But what is the latest, Stephen Lassen? People are clamoring. People want these mags in their hands. I'm going on vacation coming up around Memorial Day, like most people. Can I get my magazine this year?
I have some bad news if you're looking at Memorial Day. But if you're looking for after, the good news is, yes, they are happening. We have been working on these basically since December. We're coming down the home stretch over the next few weeks. The transfer portal, we've moved back the deadline to try and get more of the movement in the portal, which also impacts things like our predictions and all conference teams. So as you can imagine, there's going to be a lot of changes on deadline. But the hope is there's a little bit more finality to some of the rosters by then. So early June. I think the first week of June, you can kind of expect it to be on the newsstands.
There you have it. All right. So again, the rules on our SEC Dream Road Trip 2024, of course, you cannot see a team more than twice, any SEC team. You have to see all 16 SEC teams at least once, and you cannot visit the same stadium more than one time. I think the rules are pretty clear, so you guys know the drill. Also, the scheduling, the 8-game conference scheduling. Do you think that, by the way, it's going to change at some point. It needs to be 9 games, but obviously everything is in flux with all the changes coming to the system and the playoff and the committee and the what do teams value and how many losses can you have before you get in. So I know that the SEC is not going to force that, but I think that I'm curious if you think it was a 9-game conference schedule, if it would make this exercise easier or more difficult.
It's a good question. Probably more difficult because there'd be more high profile games. There's no shortage of interesting games here on the slate, though. I mean, you go up and down. We talked about Texas. You know, Texas and Georgia are going to play. Georgia and Alabama. You've got some a rivalry that has not been played for a few years that's coming back as well. So I think it would just be more high profile and interesting. And also, it probably would fill in the gaps in some of those East and West games that are not there this year because of the the new addition of Oklahoma, Texas, you get some of those in there too.
Yeah, that was the, that was one of the things. It's like, man, I really wish I could find this game. And like, oh, wait a second. That one's not happening this year for the first time since 1992 when the SEC changed and switched to division. So, all right, let's get started. And how about you go first and tell us where you will be heading for week number one in our SEC Dream Road Trip 2024.
Because of the way the schedule broke down, I had to find a place to see LSU a second time. So I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to see LSU take on USC. I think there's a lot of intrigue. It's, you know, USC is moving to the Big Ten, but Lincoln Riley, we know, can produce high-powered offenses, even without Caleb Williams. A lot of interest in USC's rebuilt defense. Here's a good chance to see LSU's new-look offense under Garrett Nussmeier against a questionable USC defense. So, can't complain about the helmets and the uniforms in this one. It's classic uniform, LSU, USC, Las Vegas.
No, I find that matchup to be fascinating because I don't think we know exactly what USC is going to be in the Big Ten. They are a premier institution. They're going to be a premier job if and when they get it right. I assume that's going to be under Lincoln Riley. And if that happens, they are one of the only teams in the Big Ten that I would say is capable of competing with Ohio State's dominance. If you want to put Michigan and Penn State and Oregon and Washington into that conversation, maybe Nebraska, if they get things figured out right, USC is that level. LSU, we know, three different coaches, you know, three different national champions. We know LSU is a premier institution that can compete for national championships when things are right with them as well. Brian Kelly is a far better coach than the last two guys that were in Baton Rouge. So ultimately, what's fascinating about this game is you have these two teams that are normally, when at their best, national championship caliber, but heading into this season, a little bit of unsure. We're not real positive. Uncertainty with both these programs. And so I think USC was a team that preseason extraordinary, you know, aspirations last year. LSU, same deal. And this year, I think the expectations will be a little bit lower. And so I think this first game is just loaded with intrigue. Loaded with intrigue.
It's kind of a game where show me if you're both teams. Like, show me if you're USC, you're going to play better defense this year. Yep. If you're LSU, show me you're also going to play better defense. But also, Garrett Nussmeier has looked very good in limited time. There's going to be a lot of change around him at receiver, too. But we don't typically learn a lot about teams in the opener because of the opponents. And you look down the SEC schedule, Temple's going to play Oklahoma. Western Kentucky's going to play Alabama. There's some other intriguing games in week one, but we'll learn a lot about LSU and USC in week one.
Yeah, and honestly, I think if LSU is just like 75% as good on offense, but like twice as good on defense, then they're a team that could compete for a playoff spot. So we'll find out very quickly on about the offense, because USC so far under Lincoln Riley has not stopped anybody. All right, I'm going to change my hat around. So if you're watching on the YouTube channel, this is where I'm going in week number one, okay? Are you watching? This is where we're going, because I had to get Vanderbilt onto the list. And I didn't really love the idea of Vanderbilt playing a home game or a road game with an SEC team. And I thought, you know what? What's better than an opening weekend non-conference game with future SEC foe Virginia Tech coming to town? Virginia Tech's a cool team. They're an interesting team this year. Vanderbilt in my home city of Nashville. I got my Nashville SC hat on there, so you could see that. It felt like there's a lot of great games in week one. There's a lot of other opportunities to catch Vanderbilt, but I didn't really actually think any of them were more interesting than this one. And it allowed me then to see a lot more other, sorry, Vanderbilt, great games throughout the course of the schedule. Yeah. So I'm not leaving town in week one. I'm staying at home, and Virginia Tech at Vanderbilt week number one. That is my game. What's your reaction?
No, it's actually a good call, because of the way the schedule broke down for me, I'm seeing Vanderbilt two times, and really it's just to get to those locations.
Two times
to see the Commodores. I will tell you,
be fired from this from doing this exercise.
Yeah. That's the battle you fight when you try to get to so many high profile and there's so many great venues in the SEC. I really wanted to get to see Notre Dame play Texas A&M, but hint hint, there's a game later on this season. I want to go to College Station, so I couldn't go there. Georgia Clemson in Atlanta. There's other opportunities to see Georgia. Not really sure how close that game's going to be. And also Miami at Florida, a ton of intrigue there for me, at least in Gainesville. Very kind of a same thing, LSU and USC, sort of a show me game in the first week of the season.
No, I love that first game, the old Brock Berlin Bowl. I think it's great. There's got to be more than just one guy who played for Miami and Florida. It's like, it's just, I just always go right to Brock Berlin. I don't know why. Okay. Where are you headed to in week number two? Look, things got real weird for me real fast in this exercise. So where are you going week two?
I am going to the Sunglasses Bowl in Lexington, South Carolina at Kentucky. Nice little rivalry going on between Mark Stoops and Shane Beamer. It's kind of a swing game in the SEC. On the theme of show me, prove it, it's two quarterbacks that I have a lot of interest in this season, in Lenore Sellers at South Carolina and Brock Vandergriff at Kentucky. Two guys with a lot to prove, a lot of uncertainty. Week two is a good chance to find out about both of them, so I'm going to Lexington.
So Texas, in its second game ever as an SEC college football team, goes on the road to play the defending national champion Michigan Wolverines, and you and I are going to Lexington to watch Shane Beamer and Mark Stoops throw verbal and, visual barbs at each other with sunglasses, TikToks, and God knows what else. It's actually a really important game for both coaches, I think, this year. South Carolina, as you, I mean, look, Mark Stoops is far more stable at Kentucky than Shane Beamer is at South Carolina. But I think they're both pretty stable. Ultimately, there are some big sort of career-defining conversations to be had about these two coaching staffs right now. And I think we're going to learn a lot more about them this year. And I think early with some of the hype that's going to happen with all the little, you know, with the rivalry, I think it's great for college football, great for the SEC that coaches have rivalries like this. And I think it's so funny that Shane Beamer and Mark Stoops, like two guys that come from like football royalty families.
Yeah.
Just like argue, like it's so strange. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys or something. It's very strange.
Two coaches from, like you said, football families and getting worked up over sunglasses. Like the things that, you know, the pettiness of college football, going to a high level. I this also kind of gets at the, you know, you mentioned Texas and Michigan. Texas just has, even though the schedule's pretty favorable, they have a few high profile games that you just can't miss out on the schedule, I think. Yep. And that's kind of why I didn't go to Michigan. But also the game in Charlotte, Tennessee versus NC State, I think kind huge of a table setter for both. We'll learn a lot about Nico for Tennessee, NC State, of course, as Grayson McCall. I wouldn't go to this game for purposes of Alabama, but I do think South Florida under Alex Golish was much improved last season, going to Tuscaloosa in week two. I don't really think Alabama's under any threat, but I do think it's kind of an interesting G5, Power 5 matchup in week two.
Alabama only struggles with the Bulls in Tampa. They don't struggle right with them in Tuscaloosa. No, that was the Jalen Milroe inexplicably benched for God knows what reason by Nick Saban and company, Tommy Reese down there in Tuscaloosa. No, I'm not going there, but I will be in Lexington early in the summertime, some bourbon, couple of nice restaurants downtown. Like, yeah, I'm good with Lexington. Okay, week number three, where are you headed, Steven?
Going to Gainesville. It's kind of a early September swing game in the SEC. Texas A&M gets Notre Dame in week one. Miami plays Florida in week one. So we're going to learn a lot about both of these teams in the month of September. For Mike Elko, a chance to go on the road and get a huge victory. But also, I think if you're Florida and Billy Napier, like, this is a game you've got to get. When you look at the schedule in the second half of the season, Miami and Texas A&M are coming to your place. And if you want to get to 6-7 wins, I think you got to get them here. So Texas A&M and Florida, I think a lot of intrigue for me. And that's why I'm going there in week three.
One of the most memorable pandemic games of the 2020 season, season was Texas A&M Florida, just super dramatic. Wasn't that when Texas A&M had like 75,000 people in the crowd? And they were supposed to have like 10,000. But that was a great game. That was Kellen Mond and Kyle Trask, I believe. Am I wrong about that?
That's right.
It was just a fantastic showdown. Ultimately, it's probably the reason Texas A&M finished fifth that year in the standings and almost made the playoff was that win over Florida, because I think Florida's pretty good that year. I am actually surprised at my own work.
All right.
Because I'm surprised I ended up with this as an option. And it's because I made a bunch of other decisions later about LSU and Alabama. I decided not to go to that game. And when I didn't go to that game, I thought very long and hard about it. I had it in there. I decided not to go. I thought, I got to find a place to see Bama a second time. I'm not going to go to Bama, Tennessee, because that's the same weekend as another huge game. I'm not going to Bama, Iron Bowl, Auburn, because there's another game that's more important that weekend. and I've already got another Bama game you'll see in just a second at home. Well, where am I going to go? Well, how about something we've never seen before?
Right.
Alabama and Wisconsin in a non-conference game. Isn't that, that's Camp Randall, correct?
Yes, it is.
So an action, unlike your LSU USC in a stale, corporate, hollow, soulless NFL stadium in Vegas, I am going to one of the premier towns outside of the SEC, one of the great cities in the history of the universe, a city that I was born in, that my father was born in, that my grandfather was born in, Madison, Wisconsin, State Street, Brought Hayes wafting across, and maybe, just maybe, Mike Vrabel comes out of nowhere, or is he not there anymore? I don't know where he is anymore, this Mike Vrabel guy. All I know is Luke Fickell's defense has to take a major step forward this year, and it's a really interesting test for Kalen DeBoer and whatever that offense is going to look like. To go on the road year two with Luke Fickell, I think the defense is going to be better. Wisconsin's always a little bit better than you think on defense. And I trust Fickell to have them playing fairly well in week number three. I think Bama's probably a heavy favorite, and I think Bama probably wins the game. But I find it to be an extremely interesting, true north of the border, north of the Mason-Dixon line, actual true road game against a quality Big Ten opponent. I just think it's really interesting and exciting. And as someone born in Madison, you know, I'll take my dad and my brother and we'll go have a good time. So,
yeah. Anytime I think you could get an SEC team going on the road to play a Big Ten opponent, especially in a high profile setting like this, like, sign me up. That was on my short list for this week. You know, I mentioned Texas A&M and Florida, but there are some other intriguing games. If you wanted to get to Norman, see them play Tulane this week is not a bad call.
Stop it. There's so many good places to see Oklahoma this year. Many good games. Huge.
There are, but this week, you know, Ole Miss at Wake Forest was, you know, if you wanted to see Ole Miss two times, like, you had to kind of fit some of these in. But for me, it was A&M in Florida, Alabama at Wisconsin were the only two. I also think you mentioned Wisconsin. I'm curious to see what the offense looks like. You know, Tyler Van Dyke, is it Braden Locke at quarterback? And then, of course, just this game for Alabama, would you look at the early schedule? Like, this is their big warm-up, because what they get coming in week five is pretty dang important for their playoff national title hopes.
Yeah, that huge showdown with Vanderbilt on October 5th on the road here in Nashville for Alabama. True, true road warrior. No, I mean, honestly, they're going to have at least two corners probably drafted in the first. I think Kool-Aid McKinstry goes in the first round, so I think you're going to have Terry Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry both drafted. So a totally reworked secondary against an air raid offense. I think it's all the things you want if you're Kalen DeBoer in a challenge that you probably should win, but is not going to be easy. And so I could see them like escaping with like a late touchdown to cover a spread or something, but like have to work really hard for it. And I think that's actually going to benefit Alabama in a big way. So Alabama at Wisconsin, any trip to go back to my hometown and party in Madison, though, give me a break. I get to see all these SEC schools and I'm going to Madtown. Hell yeah, man. Sign me up. All right. Week number four. Tell me where you're going before I tell you that you're wrong.
Well, you did say it was a fireable offense to see Vanderbilt twice. So let's start with one, because I could make you through the rest of the podcast and get to Vanderbilt later. But week four, I wanted to get to Missouri. So I'm going to go see Vanderbilt at Missouri. It was hard to fit Missouri in because they don't have a lot of high profile opponents this year. At Alabama is their best game. Alabama also hosts Georgia, hint, hint. So it was hard to see Missouri and try to find a spot. So I had to go to Missouri, check out the Tigers. So I'm going to go see the Commodores, play the Tigers in week four.
So I will say this. Missouri is like the only team in the top, I'm doing the math here, like 9 or 10 in the conference that I don't see twice. It's the only one. But my game is way better than Vanderbilt, Missouri. and I'm going later. I think this is there's not a lot I can add to Vanderbilt at Missouri. Missouri is going to be like a 35-point favorite. Yeah. Although, having just visited Columbia last summer, I do find that to be a fun place to go hang out. Really good biscuits there at the Ozark. I think it's the Ozark Biscuit Kitchen. No free shouts. Anyway, this is no-brainer to me. And it wasn't like number one first game that I picked. That's another one. It wasn't even my second and third, but it was probably my fourth. It was probably number four on the list. And that is, I'm all about the storylines. I already got storylines with Shane Beamer and Mark Stoops. This is Josh Heupel returning to Oklahoma in Oklahoma's first conference game in the SEC with its former national championship head coach slash quarterback coming back to town. Two teams that are probably preseason top 15. Both teams think they can make the playoff and get to 9 or 10 wins. Both teams are breaking in brand new five-star elite freshman or redshirt freshman quarterbacks. Just everything you could possibly want in a football game. I was at the Baker Mayfield game in Neyland Stadium a couple of years ago. I want to say it was 2017, one of the best football games I've ever seen. They played in Norman either the year before or the year after. These two teams have played really good games, and now Josh Heupel's a part of it with Nico and Jackson Arnold and first ever SEC game. Like, this was a no-brainer, one of my top four games of the year, Tennessee at Oklahoma. Come on, Lasso, what are you doing?
It's a far better pick than Vanderbilt at Missouri. I had Oklahoma penciled in for two other games based upon road trips and trying to get to Domino's. So I couldn't go with you to Norman, but I agree with you on all the storylines. Josh Heupel going back to Oklahoma. You've got two standout breakout quarterback potentially there with Nico and Jackson Arnold. Also the SEC opener for Oklahoma. And it's a good test for Oklahoma's rebuild offensive line with James Pierce coming off the edge for Tennessee. So early in the season, we'll learn a lot about Tennessee. They play NC State, of course, and they get Oklahoma here. So by far, you win this round, Braden. That one's way better than Vanderbilt, Missouri. So.
Well, you beat me week one, but I think we're tied week two. But I got you. I think I got you beat the next two. Although Texas A&M Florida is really good. And by the way, if you want to watch this entire thing on YouTube, you can. 440 Sports. That's 440 Sports. That's my company. You can watch it over there as well. If you care about that. So if you want to shoot us, by the way, your dream road trip in the SEC, feel free at AF on Steven, at Braden Gall on twitter.com. If you want to go that way. So, okay. All right. I'm going to Oklahoma. Now I assume we're in the same place in week five.
Georgia at Alabama. It was one of the, I think, three games that was a no-brainer selection for me. Just the storylines here. Obviously, two top 10 teams. I mean, Alabama, Georgia will probably be number one going into the showdown. You have the rematch of the SEC championship game, but also it is Kalen DeBoer's SEC opener at home against Georgia. And, of course, it's a potential Heisman-type showcase game for Carson Beck and Jalen Milroe. So it just looks like a clash of college football titans in Tuscaloosa. In week five, easy pick for me.
Easy pick as well for me. It was my number three game. It was the third game that I absolutely locked in. Tennessee, Oklahoma was number four. And once you sort of lock in Georgia, Bama, that really does affect how you choose to see Georgia later or Alabama later, because as you'll see, there's a pretty big one coming up. I will say this is a strange emotion I'm having right now. I know it's, you know, mid-April here, but maybe talk me through this. Without Saban, and because I think Georgia is so clearly the best team in the country and in the SEC, it does feel like this game is lost a little because of the playoff expansion. And I know I've spent the last like 10 years saying, oh, playoff expansion is only going to add value to the regular season. I've come around on this, but I can't, for some reason, and I'm being stupid because I know that by the time this game rolls around, they're probably both going to be sitting there at 4-0, and we're going to be like, oh my God, this is the game of the century of the year or whatever. But it does feel a little different. Like if you lose a close one on the road to Bama, like you still could get to the SEC championship game. You still get into the playoff potentially. Sure, it means a lot for seeding or whatever, but it does feel like there's a little bit of shine that's taken off this game. I think a lot of it is because of Saban. Like if this was Saban versus Smart, it would be number one on the list.
I agree with you. The playoff is going to change how I think we view some of these showdowns. I think it does tweak the importance of them a little bit. And I think at the time when these games happen, I mean, obviously when what comes around in December, it may or may not matter. It could end up mattering a lot. I think we have to kind of wait and see, but I think just thinking ahead, the SEC championship game, now there's no divisions, and you start thinking there could be a real log jam. If you think Georgia is the best team, Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri with a good schedule, Alabama, Tennessee, Oklahoma,
LSU,
you know, in that sense, every game is going to matter a lot because small separation in between those two. But I do think without Saban, there's a little bit of appeal loss. But then also part of me is going, we get Jalen Milroe and Carson Beck, and we also get to see Kalen DeBoer at home against Georgia. And if he loses this game, I can't wait for the talk shows Monday in Tuscaloosa, because they're going to be epic.
Yeah, they will. I mean, look, this is all talk in my head, because I think some of the new stuff, and frankly, the old new stuff that's come around in this conference, is so appealing and so attractive that it's almost like, oh, Georgia, Bama, we've seen that like 5 times in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And like, now Saban's not there. So it does not remove the value of the game, because to your point, if undefeated gets the first seed and one loss gets the second seed, does that mean that the third seed automatically gets into the playoff, but is ranked below? You know, like, that's literally what Kirby Smart has talked about in the past. And so Georgia's schedule far more difficult this year than last year. So I don't know. I think it's a really intriguing game. Tons of juice, tons of brand power, tons of star power at quarterback. Huge implications for Kalen DeBoer. I agree. I'm like talking myself out of it for like stupid reasons. I will say Oklahoma at Auburn is one of those new games that doesn't come to mind originally when we think about expansion. And all of a sudden, Oklahoma and Auburn on the Plains, which is that same weekend, which was never really considered for me because of Georgia-Bama, that game is, I think, an example of the games that we just don't really think about when we think of all these things changing. Florida and Texas, for example, is one that you don't really think about, but it's just going to be awesome. And I think there's these games in the Big Ten and in the Big 12 as well, but just Auburn hosting Oklahoma is just so, it's like, how has that not happened before?
Yeah, I think that, much like we talked about with some of these games, there is sort of the prove it kind of showcase opportunity here for both teams, for Oklahoma to go on the road and get welcome to the SEC with the trip to Auburn. That's going to be an interesting experience, I think, for the Sooners. And then I think on the other side, you know, Auburn has some high profile games coming up. Of course, they get Georgia in week 6 coming up. And then also they play Alabama. Schedule early for Auburn is pretty favorable because they get a ton of games at home. So they have a chance to sort of make some noise early in the season. A game against Oklahoma kind of gives us a good idea to how far they've developed since last season.
Winner gets the 2004 BCS National Championship trophy. How about that?
There you go. It's not quite Brock Berlin good, but
let's settle it on the field. Jason right. Campbell versus who won the Heisman Trophy for Oklahoma that year? Why am I drawing a total blank? Jason White.
Jason White,
the Battle of the Jasons. It's the Jason Bowl. 2004.
So what you're saying is at halftime we could get all the legends together, SEC legend Jason White, and get him to play like a flag football game or something, right?
Look, I know Dusty Dvorak. I could get him on. I'll just get Dusty Dvorak to come on and run some routes for Jason White. That's just a really good game. Not on my list, but really great game. All right, where are you headed to? This next week was really tough for me.
So I wanted to get to Arkansas. I've always been intrigued by the home stadium of Arkansas, Fayetteville, a great fan base for Arkansas. So I'm going to see Tennessee play the Razorbacks in week 6. You know, this is kind of where you slot in Tennessee. Also had to get a chance to see Arkansas. Maybe catching Arkansas early in the season is probably a good idea, considering some of the questions that this team has and Sam Pittman being on the hot seat. So week 6. Going to see Nico in Tennessee on the road against Arkansas, and a kind of quarterback on the rise too for Arkansas in Boise State transfer Taylen Green after a pretty impressive spring showing. A lot of optimism there in Fayetteville.
You know who absolutely will be in attendance now that he's in the media? Old Clint Sterner. You know he's going to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
Clint Sterner with the fumble play, of course, in 98, Tennessee at Arkansas. They've also, I think they had like, didn't they have like a crazy long overtime game with Casey Clawson or something as well? It's just a fascinating, it's like a really good game that doesn't play enough because of the divisions. I had Tennessee at Oklahoma. I wanted to see Neyland, so I got them later, but that's a really good one. This is one of those where I sort of had to settle for something. And I think in this conference, this is one of the few moments where I think it's fair to compare the SEC to other conferences. If South Carolina is, let's say, the 12th best team in the conference this year, give or take, right?
Right.
That's probably where they're going to be about in the preseason.
Fair. Yeah.
That is still, 78,000 strong, 80,000 strong, going to be loud and crazy. I don't know how good South Carolina is going to be. I am really interested in Lenora Sellers and if he keeps the job over Robbie Ashford. Like, I'm fascinated. Can they pull an upset on somebody? They've got an interesting home schedule. They're going to play Texas A&M at home. They play a lot of interesting teams this year. They got Missouri at home. You know, like that's a team that they could pull an upset with later. But I'm going Ole Miss at South Carolina because I think if I'm going to go to a stadium and kind of the only other option I could go to here was like UCF in Florida. It's like, no, I don't want to do that. So I love the Missouri Texas A&M game. I think that is a fascinating football game. But again, my number one pick eliminated that game. So I couldn't go there. So I'm going Ole Miss at South Carolina. And again, this is an example of a fourth place team in the conference. Let's hypothetically Ole Miss preseason, but it's preseason top 10 against the South Carolina team that's not considered elite in the SEC by any standards, but is going to have like 80,000 people at the game. And it's going to be a crazy environment. And that's just that does. There's no other conference that their 12th or 13th best team has an environment like South Carolina does.
Yeah. Especially if it is a night game at Williams-Brice, because things will be crazy there. I think if you're Lane Kiffin, this game has trap written all over it, because in week 7, you're going to play at LSU. So I think South Carolina this year, you mentioned it earlier, kind of an important season for Shane Beamer. Don't think he's on the hot seat by any means, but they finished 5-7 last year. They've brought in a ton of transfers. They have a breakout quarterback potentially. Kind of think need to kind of show that they can get back to 6-7 wins and just kind of build back some of that momentum. Well, if you beat Ole Miss in week 6, that's a good place to start in getting back to bowl eligibility this season.
Yep. And you mentioned it. I'm going to LSU the next week. Ole Miss at LSU. So unfortunately, the two times I used Ole Miss at South Carolina, at LSU, there's a lot of other great games I wanted to see Ole Miss at Florida. They got a really tough road schedule. Again, Oklahoma at Ole Miss later, something I really wanted to see, but I had to make a sacrifice. I really wanted to see if you're not going to go to Bama LSU at home in Baton Rouge, I think the best LSU game is possibly the Magnolia Bowl here. I think it's possibly Ole Miss in Baton Rouge. And I wanted to see Ole Miss twice. I wanted to go to Baton. This was a really high level game. There's so many good games this weekend with Florida, Tennessee, Texas, Oklahoma. But I wanted to see Ole Miss and LSU. I wanted LSU's home game. I'm not going to go a whole year without going to Baton Rouge. So give me the Rebels at the Tigers in week 7.
That's where I am headed as well. Right. So I hope you saved some room in the RV for me to camp out and check out Ole Miss at LSU. Last year's game was tremendous. I mean, just both teams, the high scoring, the quarterback play, lack of defense. Both teams, I think, trying to get better on defense this year. It's one of those opportunities when you think about Ole Miss. They go on the road to South Carolina, and then they go to this game at LSU. You know, it's kind of a critical two-game stretch because some of those high-profile matchups, you know, they still have to play Georgia later this season. You mentioned the game against Oklahoma. But I think with a team that has so many new faces and you're trying to get everybody molded together quickly, you have some tests right out of the gate. And I think one thing you worry about with a team like all those new faces, if it doesn't come together fast, all of a sudden you could lose at South Carolina, at LSU, and all of a sudden you kind of have to be perfect the rest of the way to get to the playoffs. So I think a critical opportunity is there for Lane Kiffin.
Ole Miss will host Oklahoma, go to Arkansas, will host Georgia, then they get a break and they go to Florida and then the Egg Bowl. It could unravel quickly for Ole Miss, a team that is going all in this season to win. They also might be good enough to win a lot of those games.
Yeah.
So they are one of the most interesting teams in all of college football this year. So I guess, all right, good. We're together. I assume we're together in week 8 as well.
I'm going to Georgia at Texas. It wasn't a must for me to get to this game because it could be the first of 3 times they play this season, could play in the SEC championship game. They could meet in the college football playoff. Putting all that aside, it's a matchup of top 5 teams this season. Georgia going on the road to a new venue in Austin, a chance for Texas to kind of make a statement in year 1 of the SEC. Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, I could keep going on and on. Easy pick for me, Georgia at Texas.
Look, this is maybe the 2 best teams in the conference. It might be the 2 best coaches in the conference. It might be the 2 best rosters in the conference. It might be the 2 best quarterbacks in the conference. I know this is all sacrilege because there's a lot of other great coaches, players, and teams, but I think there's a chance this is it. Also, I think the new factor was here for me. It's like Texas hosting Georgia. Also, if we're going to joke about Brock Berlin and we're going to joke about 2004 BCS National Championships. We have to vote. We have to joke about I've been working on the railroad, which is the fight song for both teams.
I was going to go with the AD Mitchell Bowl.
also a factor. There's a few other players that have transferred, but no, it's they both their fight songs are basically the same thing. So it'll be fascinating if you're sitting in the crowd as a neutral observer or in the press box and you're listening to both bands play. We'll see what happens. But no, from a new factor, from a quality factor, from a quarterbacks, coaches, roster talent, the stakes, the gravity, what the future SEC is supposed to look like. It is all about Georgia at Texas. This was number two on my list. I my first two games have Texas in them. You guys can guarantee, you can probably guess which my first game was. I'm sure yours was the same. Georgia, Texas was number two. Georgia, Bama was number three. And those three sort of defined and dictated everything else, because you can make a really great case for Bama at Tennessee being a really, really big football game in week number eight. For the first time in a long time, it doesn't feel like a foregone conclusion what that game could be. Auburn at Missouri is fantastic. Remember that great game from either last year, or was it 2 years ago, where they dove at the goal line?
Yeah.
Sorry, Missouri fans, to remind you that. LSU at Arkansas, great rivalry there. Kentucky at Florida's gotten feistier over the last few years. That is a great weekend of action. Texas A&M at Mississippi State. But Georgia and Texas, it's a no-brainer. Had to go there. So,
couple of potentially good teams going on the road there in week eight. LSU at Arkansas could be tricky. Texas A&M at Mississippi State could be tricky. Like you said, Alabama, Tennessee. The last time we saw what happened when the Crimson Tide went up to Neyland. So there's always intrigue with that. That rivalry is probably going to get a lot more, I think, competitive, fair to say, especially if Josh Heupel continues to take Tennessee in the direction that we think. It is funny, like you mentioned Texas and the showdowns there. You know, Georgia was a no-brainer for me. And then the game we'll talk about later on was a no-brainer for me. And you mentioned it, but we barely talked about it, which was Texas and Oklahoma for the first time meeting as SEC members in Dallas in week, was it seven, was almost like I wanted to get to it, but I just couldn't get to it because of the other choices. So week seven and week eight have some really quality choices if you're an SEC fan.
And for those of you who've been listening to me talk about college football, you know I've been to that game. It's like how I learned how to cuss. And so maybe that's part of a factor, is that I've been so like steeped in that game for so long that like I don't feel as the priority. But like, again, there were three games that dictated everything. It was the season ender that matters the most to everybody. It was Georgia, Texas, and Georgia, Bama. And that was it. And once you use Texas twice, you're done. Can't use them again. So there you go. All right. Week number nine. I don't want to call it a filler game, but it was definitely a strategy here for me to pick two teams that I could argue are the two worst teams not named Vanderbilt in the conference. But that being said, 56,000 strong, loud, Arkansas at Mississippi State. It's a whole lot of maroon. It's a really good atmosphere. If this game was in Arkansas, I might like it a little bit more. Just because I think Fayetteville's a little bit cooler than Starkville. But other than that, it's a totally, for this to be like a throwaway game that I have to put on the schedule because I have to see everybody, is still going to, it probably ends up being a really good football game. So
I'm going to the state of Mississippi, but I'm going to the Grove and I want to see Oklahoma at Ole Miss. My thoughts are with you in hoping that this year's Arkansas Mississippi State game is better than that 7-3 barn burner that we saw in Fayetteville last year. So if I text you and I know I don't get a response, you probably fell asleep. Let's hope the game is far better this year. But I think Starkville is a kind of a great place just to get to, just because you get to the, like you said, the fan support first year under Jeff Lebby, a chance for kind of a new direction. There's a lot of enthusiasm for it. So I suspect that it'll be a good atmosphere. But getting to see Ole Miss at home, the Grove, Oklahoma,
I know.
Too hard to pass up. That's my pick for week nine.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. And the fact that I don't go to Oxford or Athens is borderline a fireable offense. It's just, they're two of the top three or four places in the entire not just conference, but the entire country, and not going to those two games. I really did love that game, the Oklahoma Ole Miss game. That game is really, really good. Missouri at Bama is great. LSU at A&M is one of my favorite rivalries in all of college football. But again, cannot go back to College Station if you put that game at the end of the season into your schedule right away. That game really throws a whole lot of stuff up in the air. But Auburn, Kentucky is really interesting. You know, throw out the records when historic SEC rivals Texas and Vanderbilt get together. So a lot of good stuff.
You mentioned Georgia's home schedule, though. It's not they're obviously they get Auburn, they get Tennessee, but outside of that, it's UMass, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, and Tennessee Tech. There's not a lot of, based upon the where the dominoes fall, their two toughest games are on the road. It's hard to get to Athens this year, I think.
I would say their three toughest games possibly are on the road. The Tennessee game. The Tennessee game is maybe the Tennessee game is the third hardest game, but you could argue the Ole Miss game is harder because it's on the road.
I would go Ole Miss then Tennessee, I think.
So the three, I mean, Georgia's schedule is significantly different and more difficult than last year. That's for sure. All right. Week number 10. Speaking of Tennessee, I am going to Neyland Stadium to watch Kentucky and Tennessee. I just love the contrast of uniforms here. There's a rivalry here. There's all like, even when Kentucky's been very good and Tennessee's had a terrible coach, they've still been able to win that game. You've got the Florida-Georgia game here. I get it, but I needed to get to Neyland Stadium. This one and the Ole Miss-South Carolina game back in week six were like my last 2 weeks that I picked, and so I kind of had to pick somebody that fit the exercise. But going to Neyland Stadium to watch Kentucky-Tennessee, that rivalry, maybe we can bring that beer barrel back out. That sounds good to me, so I'm going to Neyland.
Yeah, week 10 was tough for me, and you're probably going to fire me on the spot right now because
the planes.
I'm going to go. I wanted to go to Auburn. The only way I could make it work was seeing the game versus Vanderbilt. So I'm not anticipating a great game, but it's a chance to go to Auburn. Ole Miss at Arkansas, and this week is also pretty interesting. Arkansas at home could be pretty tough for Ole Miss, especially given the schedule that Ole Miss has on the road. You mentioned Florida and Georgia. Hasn't really been close the last couple of years. I don't know that it's going to be. I mean, for the rivalry is interesting. I just don't know the scoreboard is going to be all that competitive.
And you mentioned Ole Miss. The week before they host Oklahoma, the week after they host Georgia.
Right. It's like trap game again.
Trap game alert for sure right there. So I'm going Kentucky and Tennessee, which is definitely better than Vanderbilt Auburn. So even in my down week, I'm going to a better game. Week 11. And you mentioned like no place to get Missouri. I think this rivalry now has just, it's not the same. I get it as Texas and Texas A&M. I get it. It's not the same. But they have played more than 90 times. And they used to be Big 12 rivals. Rivals I'm using as a loose term. But Eli Drinkwitz is doing everything in his power to make Oklahoma and Missouri a rivalry again. And now they're going to be in conference again. And now they're playing a game in which Missouri could be the higher-ranked team late in the season at home in November. It gets cold in Columbia, Missouri in November. I just think this is a chance to be a really, really good football game. And a very important football game. And I get to rekindle the rivalry from 15 years ago when they left the Big 12. 90 plus times they've played. I'm sorry. I want to see this become a thing again. And so I'm going Oklahoma at Missouri.
That is a better pick than me. But I hope you left me your hotel room or something from Knoxville from the previous week. Maybe you left me some supplies. I don't know. I'm going to Neyland. I wanted to get there to see Tennessee play at home once this year. So I'm going to see Mississippi State at Tennessee. Don't anticipate it being a great game. But like I said, this is a trip to go see the home stadium, Knoxville, on game day and check out the Vols play the Bulldogs.
Man, this is like, there's Alabama LSU. We're not going to that game. Huge, huge game. Probably the biggest. I mean, just huge game. Georgia at Ole Miss could be it's a huge game for both of them. Florida and Texas, monster new game in the SEC. And I'm going Oklahoma, Missouri, and you're going Mississippi State, Tennessee. Man, you better have Bama like at a really big game because you've only seen Bama once, right? You've seen them hosting Georgia.
I saved Alabama one more time.
Okay, I see where I know where you're going then to see Alabama because it's certainly not Mercer in week number 12.
Yes,
but I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing with Bama on the road in week 13. We'll get there in a second. But Bama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss, Florida, Texas, just a great weekend. Week 11, November 9th, and then you toss in Oklahoma, Missouri, and Mississippi State, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. Always been a crazy, weird game, even as like the undercard there. So week 11's got huge ramifications in the SEC. That's for sure. Week number 12, where are you going?
Wanted to see Missouri a second time. And I am following a theme that you did earlier.
I keep beating you. I keep having better games than you every week. I like
you,
this.
You do. I'm jealous of your schedule. I'm going to Columbia, South Carolina, because I want to see the battle of Columbia here between Missouri and South Carolina. Like I said, I wanted to get to see Missouri a second time. This is a chance to do so on the road and also get to Williams-Brice. I'm hoping it's a night game. to check out that awesome atmosphere in South Carolina. So give me Missouri at South Carolina.
That's one of those where if you're a really good team and you want to be a playoff team, you got to, like Ole Miss, South Carolina, you got to go on the road against a hostile environment and beat a team that you're better than. Like, even if they're, even if they're pretty good, like, you, those are the games you have to win. And in this conference, this game is the type of game that makes you argue for the 8-game conference schedule, right? It's like,
yeah, true.
No. We're like 8-1 Missouri, and we went on the road and got beat by South Carolina, just the way Tennessee and Hendon Hooker did a couple years ago. South Carolina did that to Tennessee. I can't remember what year it was when they were, I think it was Butch Jones' year when they had a chance to be a premier team, and South Carolina went into Neyland and boat raced them. So you have to beat the average teams, but even the average teams in this conference can be pretty good sometimes. So especially with the home environment, with getting your back, I think Florida beats somebody they're not supposed to this year, maybe twice. And I don't know who it is. I don't know if it's A&M early, like you pointed out, hosting Texas A&M. I don't know if it's beating Miami and Texas A&M. They host Ole Miss in week 13 and they host LSU in week 12. I'm going LSU Florida because not only do I love the game and the history, but weird nonsense happens in that game all the time. But I just think Florida's going to upset some folks. I think they're going to be better than people think. And I don't think they're good enough to be like really good or, you know, playoff good or even like 9-win good, but I think they're going to beat some teams they're not supposed to. And I think beating one of LSU or Ole Miss at home in these back-to-back games, don't be surprised if they win one or both of those games. So I got them at home against LSU. I wanted to see the swamp. I wanted to see also, you know, November, it's cold. I want to go where it's warm. I'm going to go to Florida, watch LSU.
It's a good pick. I would actually agree with everything you said there about Florida. And I'm not trying to drink the Kool-Aid from the spring game and the optimism around DJ Lagway and what Graham Mertz did. But I do think Florida is better enough to where they could kind of get to 6-6. So, I mean, I think that would be a sign of progress given a very difficult schedule. So I think if you're Billy Napier, the optimism ought to be, hey, you've got all these tough games at home. There's a chance to make some noise early, get off to a fast start, maybe pick off LSU late in the year. That series, LSU and Florida, has always been weird, like you said. So you really can't go wrong going to the swamp and seeing LSU Florida. So I like the call.
I mean, if you go schedule game with Florida and they beat Miami and A&M early, which is when you want to play both Miami and A&M, right? Let's say they beat both of them. The other game, they got Samford in week 2. They win that game, let's say. So 3-0, which I'm not saying is easy. Let's say they go 3-0. I believe they're off. No, they're at Mississippi State in the Dan Mullen Bowl. So if they can beat Mississippi State, that's a winnable game. Again, nothing easy here for Florida, but winnable. Then you get UCF in week 6 after a bye week, right? Then week 7, you go to Tennessee. I'll give you a loss there. But then you get Kentucky at home. Okay. All right. That's a game you've struggled in. Then you lose to Georgia in week 10. Okay, fine. Then you're at Texas. You lose that one. Okay, fine. You get LSU and Ole Miss at home. If you split those, all of a sudden you've got a really good chance at 8 wins. You lose to Florida State, let's say, in the season finale. I just think 8-4 is more on the table for Florida than people think.
I would agree with that. I don't think that they are going to go 10-2 or 9-3, but I think, like you said, their home games afford them an opportunity to pick up a win or two. And also keep in mind, they were 5-7 last year. They were one defensive play away from beating Missouri in Columbia late in the season.
And so, Arkansas?
I mean. Right. Like we said, KJ Jefferson Bowl. With UCF coming in on October 5th, I think Florida should be out for revenge considering how well he played last season. There's no doubt about it, though. It is a very difficult schedule, but there's a lot of opportunities here. And if you're Billy Napier, like we said, if you could beat Kentucky, which they've struggled to do so, like that's a step in the right direction. So I think it's a difficult schedule, but also some opportunities here for Florida to turn things around.
Yeah, it's a very, very hard schedule, but much like Oklahoma, very, very hard schedule that I think they can win some games with. So, all right, week 13. This was, once I started doing the exercise and I actually started penciling in teams and I started looking where I could see Texas A&M and where I could go visit Auburn, which is one of my favorite places in all of college football, I sort of penciled in Texas A&M at Auburn in week 13 pretty quickly. It wasn't top 4 or 5, but like, I love Texas A&M at Auburn. I think Auburn's going to be significantly better at this stage of the season. I think A&M is going to be significantly better at this stage of the season. I think these two teams could be surging into the end of the season. Does that mean they're, you know, they have four or five losses, it still might mean they have a lot of losses. But I think both these teams are going to be surging. They've built up some animosity over the course of the last 10 or 12 years. I just think Texas A&M at Auburn on the Plains is fantastic. Give me the Aggies and the Tigers. War damn Eagle.
That's a good call. But I think I got you beat this time. I'm going to Norman. I am going to see Alabama at Oklahoma. Just the history for these two programs and the uniforms, the aesthetics, it's going to be an awesome experience to see these two teams play in a conference game in Norman. So that's why I kind of saved Alabama and Oklahoma for a second time here. But I like your call of A&M at Auburn. This has been kind of another weird series. It's like the road teams had some success at times. But also, I think looking at A&M's schedule, I think there's an opportunity here. When you look at, they have to play Texas, but there's no Georgia. There's no Alabama. There's no Tennessee. Mm-hmm. There's no Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. You get Notre Dame, Missouri, LSU at your place. There's an opportunity here for Mike Elko and the Aggies to make some noise. If you could survive road trips like Auburn and Mississippi State, which are not going to be easy.
No, but also not among the best teams either.
Right.
Notre Dame, Texas A&M did not get mentioned on the show so far. Like, just want to point out that Georgia Clemson did not get mentioned on the show.
Right.
That's how many big games there are this year in the SEC. Because again, if you start with Texas and Texas A&M, which every human should, that was the first one I put down on paper. It does dictate a whole lot of things after that. Texas, Georgia then falls into place, and then Georgia, Bama falls into place. And then after that, you're off and running. Ole Miss, Florida is great. Sneaky upset alert. Maybe Texas at home against Kentucky. I don't know. Maybe not. Otherwise, Missouri at Mississippi State's interesting, but Vandy, LSU, UTEP, Tennessee, Louisiana Tech, Arkansas, UMass, Georgia, Wofford. The November SEC thing is happening over 2 weeks. So they've actually scheduled half them 1 week and half them the other week. And that means half the schedule is actually really good games. So the week before, in week 12 and 13, you get, Mercer, Alabama, UL Monroe, Auburn, New Mexico State, although don't schedule New Mexico State at home if you're an SEC team in November. Auburn will found out all about that last year. So it's interesting that they've split it up, and there's two really good sets of games on those two weekends, and then you kind of like switch, right? You play a tough one, and then you play an easy one. And that brings us to the end. And Bama, Oklahoma, that's great. That's the Jalen Hurts Bowl. That's Bob Stoops will probably be there taunting. Can we have Bob Stoops and Nick Saban on the set on the sideline just taunting each other?
Honorary coaches, right?
I love it. And then, of course, there is no way to start this exercise. If you can only go to each stadium one time, there is no place in college football in any conference between any two teams in any game. This is not Ohio State, Michigan. It's not Oregon, Washington. It's not Texas, Oklahoma. It's not the Egg Bowl. It's not, you name it. There is not a game in college football, including the Iron Bowl, including Oklahoma, LSU in the season finale is great. Florida State. It does not matter. There is one football game that if you want to be at in 2024 that stands above every other game in any conference. And it is Texas at Texas A&M. The vitriol, and I want to be there on Monday, and I want to walk around in it. I want to bathe in it. I want to soak in it. I can't wait. Texas and Texas A&M season finale. Cannot wait. Sign me up.
Easy number one pick for me when I started to look at potential locations for A&M and really just the best game. The rivalry renewed after however many years of not being played. Like you said, the animosity that's been built up, we're going to get the animosity and back and forth on the internet all off season, all week leading up to this game. It's going to be awesome. And also, I think putting all the rivalry stuff aside, there's a lot of intrigue here because you've got what could be an improved Texas A&M team, a defensive coach like Mike Elko taking on an offensive minded head coach and Steve Sarkisian, Quinn Ewers against a potentially improved A&M defense, Connor Wigman against, a Texas defense that's got some question marks coming into this year. So X's and O's, on-field battles, rivalries, all of it, coaching implications, recruiting, it's got it all. So for me, no doubt about it, this is one of my most anticipated showdowns of the season. Georgia-Texas might be more high profile in terms of rankings, but this game coming back was easy for me. No brainer.
All right. Here, I'll end the show this way. I'll end the show with a bold prediction. Because if they're both 0-11, it's still phenomenal. The emotional buildup and pettiness and vitriol that has been built up over the last 15 years of getting to trash talk each other via radio shows and message boards. Like, it just, you explained it. I've explained it. We don't need to explain it. It is truly, if you could tell me I can go to one college football game this year, that's the game I'm going to in any conference. But I think Texas A&M wins, and I think they knock Texas out of something. I don't know if it's out of the SEC championship game. I don't know if it's out of the playoff. I don't know if it's out of, like, maybe hosting a home game. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I think A&M wins, and I think they knock Texas out of something. If that, again, and this is the beauty of the new playoff system. You can knock somebody out of a conference championship game. In this case, that could be their second loss, right? And that knocks them out of a conference championship game. That may knock them out of the top four with a bye, which also knocks them out of the, maybe you get knocked out of the top eight instead. And so there you, therefore you don't host a playoff game. Like, or if you're 9-2 and you lose a third game, maybe you're knocked out of the playoff altogether. So I think A&M wins that game. And I think they knock Texas out of something. I don't know what it is though. In April, I'm calling it in April.
I don't mind your bold prediction. I think when you look at A&M's schedule, we talked about the Notre Dame, Missouri, you know, LSU, Texas. Like, that could be four top 12 opponents, presumably in the preseason. I think they're going to get somebody. It's always it's always dangerous to put stock in A&M because it seems like recently they have let us down. We do it. But I think this is going to be a different A&M team under Mike Elko. They're not going to talk about hypothetical national championships and fake awards. It's going to be about doing the work and actually building a team and a roster that Jimbo Fisher didn't do. Mike Elko is going to do that. So I understand there will be a lot of apprehension about picking A&M to do good things, but I think the schedule, they're not hurting for talent. They have a superstar quarterback, potentially.
Potentially.
I don't think that's crazy at all to suggest that A&M is going to play spoiler for Texas season.
All right, let's do this real fast so that we can recap where we went and see who won. I'm going to Virginia Tech at Vanderbilt week one. Where are you going? LSU, USC.
LSU, okay. USC, Vegas.
Okay, objectively, you win. Okay. South Carolina and Kentucky were both there, so it's a tie, right?
Right.
Okay, fair. Bama at Wisconsin. For me, week three, where are you?
Texas A&M at Florida.
Ooh.
I think you win. I mean, Madison to see Alabama play Wisconsin.
Yeah, Texas and Florida. Texas A&M, Florida, neither team might be ranked. I could have two ranked teams, so I win that one. Okay. Tennessee at Oklahoma is where I'm going in week four.
I don't even need to tell you where I'm going. You win.
Vanderbilt, Missouri, is that right?
Right, yes.
All right. Week five, I got Georgia-Bama. You're Georgia-Bama, so we're tied there. Okay. Week six, I got Ole Miss, South Carolina.
I had Tennessee at Arkansas. That's
kind of a tie. I think that's a tie. Good job. Good job by you and good job by me. Ole Miss and LSU next week, we're tied, right? Because you're there with me.
Yep.
Georgia, Texas, we're both there. Okay. All right. Pretty solid. I've got Arkansas, Mississippi State in week nine.
I've got Oklahoma at Ole Miss. So all right, that's a win.
That's a win for you for sure. Kentucky, Tennessee for me in week 10.
Vanderbilt at Auburn. That's me. That's a loss.
I get a W on that one. Week 11, Oklahoma at Missouri.
Yeah, I've got Mississippi State at Tennessee. You win that one.
That's a W. All right, it's 4-2-5 right now. I've got LSU in Florida in week 12.
I've got Missouri at South Carolina.
All right, I win again. All right, Texas A&M Auburn for me.
I've got Alabama, Oklahoma.
All right, we'll give you the W there. You win. And then we're both going Texas A&M, Texas in the final week. So that was mostly just to remind everybody of our entire schedules, but also to prove that five wins for me, three wins for you, and then six are the same. Basically, I had a better schedule than yours is what I just learned.
It's like some old 1990s standings for college football, like 4-5-2 and like, yes, you know, 5-5-1.
Yes, we won a national championship with six ties. Yeah. All right. Tell everybody where they can find you, Steven.
You can follow my work at AflonSports.com. Follow me on Twitter at AflonSteven, Steven L, CFB on Instagram, Facebook, and all CFB365 on the YouTube.
All right. Thank you guys for listening and hanging out. You can get to me at Braden Gall. Please rate, review, and subscribe. We will talk to you guys next week. Much appreciated, everybody.